This is exactly right.
Hello. We want to take a second to tell you about one of our favorite podcasts, Disgraceland. If you like music, pop culture, and true crime, this is the podcast for you.
Through host Jake Brennan's deeply researched storytelling, you'll hear all about the lives and crimes of musicians like Jerry Lee Lewis, Jay-Z, the Rolling Stones, and so many more.
And now Disgraceland is expanding to include artists, actors, athletes, and other icons from Anthony Bourdain to Andy Warhol.
Full episodes are released every Tuesday. Check out Disgraceland on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen.
Goodbye.
What you do for a living? Podcasting.
Yay, man! Who? What the fuck?
Yeah,
that's so crazy, right?
It's not what I would have expected to hear about myself when I worked at the Gap in 1990.
Ditto, Hot Topic in 1998, 2000
in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Which one?
At the Santa Monica Mall, which has been torn down.
The one that's near the 3rd Street Promenade?
Yeah, like the end of 3rd Street Promenade.
Yeah.
Worked at that one.
What year? 20?
I want to say 99.
Dude, I bet you I went there when you worked there.
Oh my God.
That's one of my favorite places.
It's so ridiculous.
To be an adult and go into a Hot Topic is just like, I want to go and hold everyone's face and just be like, you're going to get through this.
I think, I don't think I've been in one since I walked out and quit.
Did you do a walkout?
I walked
Hot Topic?
Out, but it was because it was for a boy that I ended up getting my heart broken over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, which one's worse, working at Hot Topic? Like, at least he gave me that.
Wait, he also worked at Hot Topic?
No. He like was like, we're going to do this thing. And I'm like, I want to go too. And then just left.
Oh, fuck yeah. You were just like, this job is interfering with my plan.
Yeah. Of making this guy fall in love with me who turns out had a girlfriend. I know.
My least favorite move of men.
My, like, what?
Sorry, I didn't inform you about the full relationship that I had.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope I made you feel good and young and alive.
I said, thank you. And sorry we didn't inform you about the fact that this is my favorite murder.
Oh,
the
minisode. Here we go. Then our new thing is we're just going to start talking sincerely about personal things so that we don't have our weird fake openings.
What if we did that?
I think it's a good idea.
I do too. Like, if we don't need to say what the podcast is, because if you're listening, you probably see the name of it on your phone.
Yeah, you had to go through and find the title.
Right.
Yeah. So you know where you are.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Unless, how many times has this happened to you? Because I touch my phone so much, it's never not in my hand or somewhere near me, that I will touch it and a podcast will start in like a Starbucks or in the grocery store. Or
like
something.
Out loud.
Out loud. And a couple times it's been my own podcast.
Ooh,
and it is
so embarrassing.
The most mortifying thing that could happen to me.
Oh my God. I'm always thinking about like, I walk around and sometimes listen to the podcast and I'm like, what if everyone knew that I was listening? Like the other day I wore a My Favorite Murder shirt and I was so like, I had left the house and I couldn't change. And I was just like, oh God, what if, like, I was going to like stores and like places. What if someone is like, oh, I don't want to listen anymore. You know, she wears her own podcast shirt.
Yeah. I did an anonymous tweet about it.
You did not.
Yeah, I was like, I just saw Georgia from My Favorite Murder wearing her own shirt. Can you believe this bitch? Can you believe this?
She must be so full of herself.
She is so stuck up.
Yeah. Okay. But to be fair, it was Kat Solon's really fucking cool Stay Out of the Forest design that looks like a camp shirt, but it says really big over it, My Favorite Murder.
Yeah, I love that shirt so much.
I know. Like, what's the point of having that designed if I can't wear it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Also, we got a bunch of shirt returns from the company.
Yes.
They were like, here, you get to have your own shirts.
Because right.
I don't have any.
No, I had one. I think I got a Toxic Masculinity Ruins the Party Again shirt because it was so cool.
Yes.
And it didn't feel like, it wasn't my quote, and it didn't feel like My Favorite Murder shirt specifically, or didn't really, you couldn't tell immediately.
It didn't feel like in the 80s when you'd get your own name ironed onto like the sleeve of your baseball shirt. Georgia. Karen.
Oh, God, we should have baseball shirts that have our last names. I don't mean for to sell, but for ourselves.
That's a good idea. Because if you felt stupid in your own podcast shirt, well, then surely if you went out in a baseball shirt with your name on it, you'd feel great.
Especially because it's like both have such specific last names, like Smith or, oh, man.
I used to have, our whole family got Kilgariff Construction shirts because there's a Kilgariff family on the East Coast.
Same family.
That like, runs Kilgariff Construction.
Who? What the fuck?
And my, some... One of my uncles met one of those, the East Coast Kilgariffs, and gave my uncle a ton of shirts.
That's so cool.
So all of us had these green shirts with the shamrocks that were like, Kilgariff Construction. They'd be like, oh, does your family own that?
I want that.
And be like, no, it's our East Coast branch of our family.
I want that.
Pretty cool, right?
Yes.
But we don't know those people. We're not actually related to
really?
Them. It's just other Kilgariffs that came over.
What are the fucking chances?
I feel like they're slim.
They're related to you.
There's a famous opera singer named Pat Kilgariff who, and that was my mom's name. And
oh my God.
She, and one time I signed in for an audition. And so obviously signed Karen Kilgariff. Yeah. And the man who was going to sign in after me goes, are you Pat Kilgariff's daughter? And I said, yes, I am. And he goes, I worked with your mother in New York and I would just want to tell you that she is an amazing woman. And I go, are you a nurse? And his face, it was like I pulled a turd out of my pocket and held it under his nose. He was like, no. And I was like, my mom's a nurse. And then he was like, ugh, and walked away.
What? But fuck yeah. him. But yeah. what? Are
He turned on a dime on me.
I hope he didn't get the role. The part.
That man.
Is today.
Is today Sean Hayes. No. No, it was like a way older guy that clearly was of the theater.
All right, all right.
Anyhow. Oh, welcome to My Favorite Murder.
There, that's how we start it.
The Minnesota edition, which means we talk for 90 minutes at the top.
And then we read your stories, your hometown murders that you send us at myfavoritemurder@gmail.com, obviously .com, and then...
And -edu.
Right. So you want to go first? You
sure.
look ready.
That's just because I'm staring at you. yes, there's a couple good ones that Stephen gave me here, but let's see. We'll start with this
Stephen
one.
Stephen likes you better.
Stephen likes me. Hold on. Please hold.
Are you going to belch?
Or throw up.
Oh. You're going to open a new mic if you do that.
We are sitting in front of such high-tech equipment yeah. right now because we're in the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just what if you threw up on it?
I'm like thinking about it.
Because then this would smell. Even if they were like, it's fine, we replace the thing, it would just smell.
Your whole...
Guys,
okay, here
Stephen,
we go.
Honestly, Stephen, please cut that out.
Listen, can we get professional for fucking... Yeah, go ahead.
Could you, for 1 second, allow me to get professional? Okay.
Okay.
The subject line of this one is, my grandma thought the gun was fake during an armed robbery.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Hello, Georgia, Karen, Stephen, Mimi, and Elvis.
It's Frank
okay.
and George.
No, it's fine. Big fan of the show, obviously. Last week's mini episode, you were talking about robberies and stuff, and it made me think of this amazing story about my grandma. First and foremost, my grandma was a badass, tough older lady, didn't take shit from anyone, would probably be a murderino if she could figure out podcasts. She definitely would like the Purrcast. Is that too pandering, Steven?
Yes.
Awesome.
But it worked.
I'll take it.
So about 10 to 15 years ago, my grandma comes home from her bowling league.
Yes.
Oh, my heart. Later at night and pulls into her garage in Manhattan Beach, California. Mm-hmm. There is no direct access to the house from the garage. So after parking in this super dark garage.
So dangerous.
So bad. And also she's a grandma. She needs to exit the garage and go into the house on this particular night. A man was waiting for her. He demanded her purse and any money that she had on her. My grandma sizes the guy up, looks at his gun,
oh my God.
Makes the determination that this guy's gun is fake, and decides that the best course of action is to beat him with her purse.
Holy shit.
She hits him a few times with the purse and screams until the man runs away. She goes inside the house, calls the cops. They come out to take her statement, and she tells the officer the story of how the man had a water gun spray painted to look like a real gun, and that didn't fool me.
Oh my God.
The officer then asked my grandma to describe the gun, and based on her description, he informed her that it was most definitely a real gun. A PPK, I attached a picture, but for those listening, think a little James Bond gun. Obviously, she was pretty shaken by that, but also
I was thinking
badass.
Like a super soaker, like painted black, but like a little cute one that looks like a 1980s gun, like water gun.
Like a bright orange,
yeah,
cute gun.
Which you're not allowed to have anymore, I don't think.
With just a little cartoon clown face on the side.
Yes.
Okay. I lost my spot. Okay. Obviously, she's pretty shaken, but she's also a badass, and it turned into a great story that she told for years and years. Mm. This was probably my favorite story about my grandma for the longest time, until she drove her car off the second story parking lot.
Holy shit!
Of her vet's office.
Oh my God.
But that, my friends, is a different story altogether. She's old, put the car in drive instead of reverse. Her and the cat were fine.
Take the keys away from her, please.
That is so funny. I hope you like this story. Keep up the amazing work. You guys make my mundane drive to and from work bearable. People also must think I'm crazy in traffic when I'm just laughing hysterically. Spencer J. Oh my God.
Never fuck with a grandma in a bowling league.
Yes
or no? Yes.
For 100% yes.
Oh my God.
They've been around the block.
Dude.
What are you talking about?
They will throw that bowling ball directly into your nuts.
They've been through world wars. They've been through terrible marriages.
Yeah.
They've been through all kinds of oppressions.
Oh, I wanted you to read. You read it to us yesterday. I mean, no, where were I? The last episode after we wrapped, you read this incredible story of the woman meeting an old woman on the train who then told her that story. I feel like you need to read that.
Okay.
Again, but let's. Okay.
I would have to find it on Twitter. So maybe we'll try to do it at the end.
Or we could do it at the next episode.
Okay.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Maybe at the end of it. Okay. All right. This is called Lighthearted and Breezy High School Chase. High speed chase.
Slightly different, but the same energy.
Hey team. My name is Jen and I have wanted to share this fucked up story for so long, but it's not a murder. However, it is your kind of fucked up and lighthearted to read between downer murders. Sisters, law enforcement, and a high speed chase.
Okay.
When I was 6, my sister, dad, and I were all in the house when we heard a huge bang outside. It shook the whole house. My dad is a cop, and he told us to lay down on the ground flat.
Cool. Ooh, that's scary.
Yeah. While he ran out of the house. How terrifying if your dad was like, that's dangerous. Bye. I'm going to run after it.
You guys hold hands.
Oh, my God. The minutes ticked by, and he didn't return. It was just me and my sister in the house laying flat on the ground. Turns out the Torrance PD was in a high-speed chase with two men. The driver lost control and crashed in the front of our house. The fence stopped him, so he didn't actually hit the house, but the fence and the yard were super fucked up. One suspect got out and took off running. Three officers went after him, leaving one female officer to detain the other giant suspect. What the fuck?
Giant?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My dad ran out with his gun and his badge, as he always does, because my dad was not Torrance PD, but LAPD. He had to show his badge to prove he was an officer.
Oh,
I never thought of that. Like, what if a guy just runs out of his house with a gun?
Yes.
It could have been, like, the robber's house.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he almost made it to home base.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I don't have any idea how long it was, but eventually a man with a giant beard walked into our back door. In my little brain, I saw a giant beard and assumed bad guy and was certain he was going to kill us. Instead, he said, "Are you okay? Your dad will be right back." I found out later that he was from three doors down and also a cop. Man, a lot of Torrance cops.
Yeah.
What the fuck with all the cops? That's exactly what I was thinking. Eventually, my dad came back in the house. He helped us. He helped get one suspect cuffed and in the back of a squad car. And the other three officers were back with the runner suspect and had him also in the back of the squad car. This is where it gets more ridiculous.
Uh-uh.
Oh my goodness. My dad loves this kind of shit and has a slightly warped sense of reality being a cop. He decided it was a good idea for me to walk around the multitude of officers and offer them a nice cold Diet Pepsi. I am not sure how old I was at the time. Definitely less than 8. I'm walking from officer to officer barefoot and offering them sodas. My one very distinct memory of this is me standing next to an officer while he was interrogating the suspect. He's all, "What the fuck were you thinking, you fucking piece of shit?" And I'm like, "Excuse me, would you like a Diet Pepsi?" No idea what happened with the rest of the story, but that was some pretty fucked up shit. Thank you, thank you, thank you for making my commute bearable. This is a commute-themed minisode.
Yeah, that's right.
I am a teacher in East LA, and I have a long-ass drive every day. You get me through it. Maybe I've had students walk into my room during my prep to find me listening to MFM. SSDGM, Jen.
Yay, that was
that was great. So it doesn't have to be a murder if you want to send a minute, but it has to be super fucked up and awesome like that.
Would you like a Diet Pepsi? I bet that guy getting arrested is just like, fuck this. No one's ever offered me a Diet Pepsi in my whole life.
Would like a Diet Pepsi.
Maybe I wouldn't have got into crime if somebody had just offered me an icy cold Diet Pepsi.
I don't think she even said diet, but suddenly you and I turned it into Diet Pepsi. Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. Diet Pepsi.
It was diet?
Yeah.
Okay. But it would not, that wouldn't surprise me in the least. Okay, this one's intense.
Okay.
But worth it.
Okay.
But it's intense.
Is that what they said or you said?
This is, I scanned it and I know this story.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Yes. Are you ready? Can you deal with it?
Can I?
Okay, hold on. I lost it.
I meant I can.
You can. Okay.
No, I can't.
This is the famous bathtub boy from North Dakota. This is a first responder story.
Oh, bathtub boy can't be a positive thing.
It's pretty intense. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I love your podcast. I heard you ask for first responder stories, so I'm writing in. This isn't my story. It's my dad's. To be completely honest, this isn't totally a first responder story. It's more of a second responder story. Well, then fuck you.
All okay. We'll let it slide this time.
Yeah. But please, let's keep it to the first. Both of my parents are doctors. My mom is a dermatologist and my dad is an anesthesiologist. They met in medical school at Harbor UCLA Medical Center in Torrance, California.
Steven, did you do this on purpose?
Look at Steven.
Steven's laughing like he played a trick on us.
It's all connected.
He's rubbing his hands together like a...
He suddenly has a bald cat on his lap. Hairless, not bald. What if the cat was just bald?
Just the hair is gone.
Balding.
It's just male pattern cat baldness. Okay. Harbor UCLA is where they sent me when I didn't have insurance and I had my seizures in 1997.
So it's a,
it was pretty intense.
State of the art.
County hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. So needless to say, they have some insane stories. Yeah. It's a county hospital.
Dude.
I was, the room that I stayed in, I was in the hospital for 4 days
for
my extreme alcoholism. I was told that I had the densest urine the doctor had ever seen.
The densest urine? Is that a thing?
It meant I had not drank water probably in like a full week.
Oh my God.
I was very ill.
That's fascinating to me. I want to talk more about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about it at the beginning of the next episode.
Okay, good.
And I'll talk about going to rehab.
We'll just keep on pushing. Those will be, it's called intense moments at the top of all minisodes.
Fuck yes.
Okay. My brothers and I grew up being told not to play with wire coat hangers since they can get caught anywhere on your face. Or check the temperature of bathtub water before getting in and not to dive into a pool unless you know how deep it is. So basically, it's the same kind of upbringing I had, which is you have parents who have seen the worst of what can happen to children. And so they're constantly reminding you not to do things based on what they've seen.
So they are just systematically traumatizing you. A nurse and a firefighter you had.
Yes.
So they were like, they didn't know yet not to scare the shit out of you constantly.
No, they absolutely were trying to scare the shit out of us constantly so that we wouldn't have the things happen to them that they had witnessed.
Too bad one wasn't a psychologist and was like, let's not also give them anxiety for the rest of their fucking lives.
Too bad one wasn't like a physical therapist. It was like, hey, Karen, why don't you take a walk every fucking once in a while and get a good habit built in.
And drink some water.
How about you drink water on the daily, girl?
I'm taking a sip right now.
Okay. I remember my parents regularly using huge medical terms like they were discussing the weather. Yes. This happened on January 11th, 1992, which also happened to be my fourth birthday. Oh, a little baby. Before we have cake and ice cream, my dad, who was on call, got a page saying he needed to get to North Memorial Hospital in Minneapolis ASAP.
In Minneapolis? Oh, no.
The hospital had a life flight coming from North Dakota. He went to the hospital, waited for the plane to land, and while he was waiting, started talking to the surgeons and learned what was coming in. Okay. So something was coming in from North Dakota. An 18-year-old boy named John Thompson from Herdsfield, a small farming town in North Dakota, was doing chores on his family's farm alone. John had started the power takeoff to power the farm's tractor.
Mm-mm.
A power takeoff is basically a spinning device. John slipped on some ice, felt a pull on the front of his t-shirt, and seconds later, the power intake ripped both his arms off.
Oh my God.
John fainted due to shock. He woke up without arms, sprinted the 400 feet uphill. Ooh, I just got chills. Uphill to the farmhouse, and then crawled in the bathtub so that he wouldn't get blood on his mom's brand new carpet. That makes me cry.
With no arms this whole time.
He dialed 911.
How?
With a pen in his mouth. John was taken to the local hospital by ambulance and assessed. The local hospital did not have the facilities to handle that kind of trauma. He was flown via air ambulance 2 hours to Minneapolis.
I can't believe he's still alive.
And the hospital where the medical team, including my dad, was waiting. Oh, so the dad was in Minneapolis. They didn't fly him to Torrance.
Got it. Got it.
Where my dad and the medical team was waiting with a full operating room ready to go. Thankfully, the police and EMTs were able to find his arms, put them on ice, and the surgeons were able to reattach them successfully.
Oh, my God.
It was the first successful double arm reattachment ever.
Oh, my God. I have chills. And it's also freezing in here, but I have chills.
Yeah, I do, too. It took 8 hours and lots of O-negative blood. The story gained national and international attention. My dad was there for the entire surgery, and actually, his watch in hand made the cover of either People or Newsweek. Unfortunately, I don't think my dad got any cake or ice cream that day. Wow. About 15 years later, my dad ran into John at the airport in Arizona. John not only remembered my dad, but he was also extremely thankful for everything my dad did. Why am I crying?
Because it's the sweetest thing I've ever
heard. It's so good. They shook hands and went on their way.
They shook hands. Because he had a handshake.
Because he was fine.
Oh, my God.
Very few people either have the time or take the time to thank the doctors, nurses, EMTs, and other healthcare workers that helped save their lives. I remember my dad calling home and telling my mom what happened. He was almost in tears that he received a thank you from John, since, like the wire hanger incident, John's is the one he carries with him to this day. Life is tough, and sometimes you just need a chuckle, so thank you for all of the laughs, Lizzie. Okay, that guy and that story isn't, there's an I survived of him.
Shut up.
And that's how, when I look down and knew it, I'm almost positive it's the same kid.
Yeah, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, because he lived and both of his arms were reattached.
Gee, I survived.
He fucking straight up, he ran up 400 yards up a hill and got to the house.
I can't believe he was alive by then, because if you run, the blood pumps out of your body faster.
Yeah, but then he got there faster, and he may also, because it was so cold.
Oh,
maybe that's part of it.
Good call.
Maybe
that's why his arms were able to be reattached.
Yeah, it was like they got kept on ice for him, because there was already ice on the ground.
Dude.
Which is what he slipped on. I'm just taking that from what was written.
That's some heavy fucking
that was,
shit.
Thank you, Lizzie.
Lizzie, thank you.
That was really quite something.
All right.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time, and we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager, and companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Dive into Hulu's chilling new original series, Under the Bridge.
It's a riveting adaptation of the true crime novel written by acclaimed author Rebecca Godfrey.
Based on shocking real-life events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a 14-year-old girl whose plan to meet up with friends ends in her shocking murder.
When an unlikely group of suspects emerge, a novelist and a detective race to solve the sinister crime.
This spellbinding series goes deep into a hidden subculture, revealing a small town's darkest secrets. Starring Emmy nominee Riley Keough and Oscar nominee Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu. Goodbye.
All right, Karen.
Yes.
EMT story, 80s FBI plane crash.
Great.
Hi, Karen, Georgia, and Steven. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and it's currently getting me through the day at my awful desk job. Been there. I'm not sure if you're still looking for EMT first responder stories. Oh, we are. But I think my
cutoff was April 23rd.
No, we're done with those. But I think my dad might have one of the coolest. Disclaimer, what this story lacks in murder, it makes up for in an unsolved mystery.
Shit. Yeah. Thank you.
In the early 1980s, my dad was working as a paramedic in Cincinnati, and he was called to the scene of a small passenger plane that had crashed into a bookstore. The plane was carrying 4 FBI agents, a private detective, and an embezzler from Chicago named Carl Johnson.
What?
Johnson embezzled $615,000 from a Chicago bank and hid the cash in a number of locations. After years on the run, Johnson turned himself into the FBI and told them that he would lead them to the location of about $50,000, which he claimed to have buried in Cincinnati, I think in a park. Johnson did not disclose the location of the money beforehand because his attorney and the FBI agents did not want to come under suspicion in the event that the money was not there. Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, for a reason that they never discovered, the plane crashed into a bookstore, killing everyone on board.
Oh, no.
When my dad responded to the scene, he went into the bookstore and found the partially burned bodies among the wreckage. Dad said they were able to tell which one was the embezzler because he was still wearing his handcuffs. I asked my dad how he handled seeing all of that, and he told me that the sight was not so bad, but the smell stuck with him. Morbid details. A few years later, his mother was cooking turkey for Thanksgiving, and he said the smell reminded him so strongly of the crash that he immediately threw up.
Oh, no.
Turkey.
No.
Don't eat turkey. So anyway, that's my dad's story. As always, stay sexy and don't get murdered, Sarah.
Wow.
Wow. That was intense.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Thanksgiving.
I know. Turkey's good. Is that what a...
We're fine. We didn't have that experience.
Yeah. It just smells like turkey to us.
It was probably actually the yams.
She was probably cooking a body. His mom was a murderer.
His mom was fucking nuts. So
she was like, oh, it's just turkey.
It's turkey, honey.
It's dark meat. Eat up. But we never saw a turkey carcass. It was so weird.
Okay, there's... Can I do one word fast?
Yes. There's never going to be a no.
Okay. Because... It made me laugh. The subject line is ER nurses sushi woes story.
Oh dear.
Karen and Georgia, a first responder story.
Yeah.
Exclamation point. It was told to me by a friend who was an ER nurse in Seattle. He was one of the folks who was in the ER the night this patient came in. It was nuts, as you will behold. A kid and some of his dude friends went to a sushi restaurant for his 21st birthday. And of course, the kid got blitzed out of his mind. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure if it was a dare or the bravado of being 21 and hammered, but the kid reached into the restaurant's live fish tank and managed to grab a fish and swallowed it whole.
Oh my God, what a dick.
But turns out it was a small puffer fish.
No.
Yeah. Naturally, this terrified puffer fish puffed out its spikes while in the kid's throat.
Oh my God.
I can't remember how they treated him or whether there were any puffer fish toxin
problems. Tracheotomy immediately.
Because I was reeling over a puffer fish puffing out its spikes while in the kid's throat. But I do remember that he was in the hospital for some time and had several puncture wounds in his esophagus.
Oh.
Presumably, RIP to the fish. That's all. You two are national treasure. Treasures SSDGM PR in Portland.
Wow. Teenage boys, man. They're the stupidest people on earth.
I mean, my 21st birthday, I remember walking out of the bar that I was in with all my friends and going, it's so weird, I'm not that drunk. Uh-huh. And then immediately falling flat on the sidewalk and in a complete blackout.
Oh my God.
Yes.
I went to a club, like this, like a soul club. I used to go with my friends to dance. And my friend Annie and I, she's my best friend, Annie Hardy. What's up? I love her. She was like, well, let's get drunk in the car first, because we didn't have any fucking money for drinks because we were both so poor. Yeah. And I was, she wasn't 21, and I had to go up and buy her drinks all the time. That's illegal. So we would drink we got a fucking 40 of Zima.
Oh,
just to
no.
be like, oh my God, remember Zima?
Zima.
And we proceeded to get shit faced in my car. I threw up into the alley. No, I threw up out. I opened the door to the car and threw up into the gutter. And then my Good. Sweet friend Summer came and drove us home.
Even. Did you ever get to the club?
No. We just sat in the car and talked and listened to music. And it was like so much fun, so much more fun than going to the club would have been. And my friend Summer finally met up and she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And
that's amazing.
Drove us home and I woke up with my first hangover.
I bet it was a nice one. I will say this to anyone who drinks in a car or passes out in a car.
Right.
Take your keys out of the ignition.
Right.
If you leave the keys in the ignition, it is a DUI, even if you're not moving. If you pull over and park and fall asleep, whatever you're doing, pull those fucking keys out of the ignition.
Do you also have to get out of the driver's seat?
I don't know.
I've heard that too, but who knows? I mean, you know what? You're
that
not
going to
remember.
Sense.
Just grab your keys and throw them in the backseat.
Just don't leave your keys in the ignition, like listening to the radio or whatever. Because
yeah.
if a cop pulls up, that is your intent. Technically, it's intent to drive.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, don't drink and drive, just overall.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give people tricks on how to drink and drive correctly. I'm just saying, like, prevent. Because I know people who have fallen asleep, pulled over, fallen asleep because they had like 3 beers. And yeah. they're like, I shouldn't be driving. But they left their keys in the ignition.
You know what I hate is when people tweet like, hey, guys, there's a DUI checkpoint on this street tonight, so avoid it. And it's like, no, tell them not to drink and drive.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thanks for listening to the hometown. Send your hometowns. We fucking love them. If you think you can do better than that, do better than that.
Those were great. Thank you so
Those
much for
so
sending
good.
Them. And as always, please stay sexy.
And don't get murdered or drive drunk.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't get murdered or murder. Was that Steven or a recording?
Was that you or a recording?
That was me.
That sounded real.
That sounded really real.